Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to today's broadcast on the UR Tennis Network. This is the American College Experience, and my name is Jason Haynes. I'm the host of the program and also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network, and we're so excited that you have tuned in today. And if this is your first time listening, welcome to the UR Tennis Network. We like to think that we are the best-kept secret on the Internet for your tennis information. We have been doing this for going on four years now. We have over 1,300 hours worth of tennis interviews that are out there. We have been downloaded over 300,000 times on the Blog Talk Radio website. And today may be your first experience, and welcome to this roller coaster ride. We are constantly trying to get new tennis information out to our listeners. We are able to each week bring you tennis news and information that the other networks do not and cannot bring to you, and that's why we perceive ourselves as a complement to what they are doing, and we will continue to do so. We've got some exciting things happening out there in the tennis world. Monday on our network, we have Parenting Aces with Lisa Stone. She comes out of Atlanta, Georgia. And she broadcasts at 11 Central Time. She covers junior tennis and excited to be having her do her thing for several years now. And then we've got, before I come on the air, and we hope you caught him today, live Chuck Creasy broadcasting from the Citadel there in South Carolina. This man here is all about American tennis, and he handles it so well. He deals with the issues involved with American tennis, and he comes on 11 o'clock Central Time today on Wednesday, and then I come on at 1 o'clock. And in the future, we're going to be, in October, we'll be launching a new show with John Denise out of the Florida High School Coaches Association. We have another show holding court with two guys out of the Junior Tennis Champion Center in College Park, Maryland, with David McIsaac and BJ Paul, and we're looking forward to them. And if you are interested in the talking tennis and you think you can do this passionately, I want to remind you that we're all volunteers here. We just love our sport. We love to talk about tennis, and we are constantly looking for people that can reflect that. Then you're more than welcome to email me at jhaynes10s@gmail.com. That's J Haynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S, the number 10, the letter S, at gmail.com. And we'd certainly love to visit with you. We have many, many great things coming down the pipeline here at the UR Tennis Network, and we want you to be involved with what we're doing. And just thank you to everyone that by word of mouth has spread the great news around that we are out here. You can catch us on iTunes. If you miss us, you can subscribe to the UR Tennis Network there and catch all of our episodes. Like I said, over 1,300 hours of tennis interviews. So that will take you quite a while. So when you're driving to and from work, when you're sitting around at night and you shouldn't be watching TV, go ahead and listen to some tennis. As of right now, we are commercial-free. We bring this to you just because we love it. And we're so excited to do that today. Like I said, my area of expertise, I like to say that. I'm not really an expert, though, laughable in that regard, is college tennis. I am a former college tennis coach of 20 years, national champion, Hall of Fame, all the good stuff that's out there that every college coach wants to pursue. And now I am doing something completely different and I'm thoroughly enjoying that. And I look forward to the many adventures that have been placed in front of me and want to let you know that on today's program, we have Mr. Chad Camper. Chad is the coach, the head women's coach over at Louisiana Tech, the Lady Texters that are competing in Conference USA. And Chad is a relatively new coach over there in Ruston, and we're going to find out what he's been bringing to that campus. Louisiana Tech is notoriously famous for supporting its women's sports, and we're excited to see what they do for the women's tennis program over there. And we're glad that they're associated with a major conference such as Conference USA. And we'll bring him on in just a little bit. I want to get to something related to, actually, to the UR Tennis Network and something that we did over the summer. If you'll remember, over the summer, what we did was is every national championship coach that we could get our hands on came on the network, told the story about their team, the season, and how they did and what led to the national championship match, the ups and the downs through the course of the season. And we had a great time with that. And then this little thing dropped out of the sky over the weekend. Just happened this way. We had Coach David Rancine. David is the head coach at University of West Florida, and they were national champions this year in their respective division. But David was fortunate to coach two West Florida players that were actually in the coach's box during that men's final between Marin Cilic and Kay Nishikori. And I wanted to let you know that in some weird twist of fate here, that Dave coached Dante Bottini, who had been Nishikori's head coach for the past 4 years, and Bottini had earned ITA All-American honors in singles and doubles in 2007 at West Florida, and he was also named the ITA South Region Player of the Year. And then on the other side of the court was former UWF student-athlete Andre Tonich. And Andre's a coach in the Croatian Tennis Federation, and he coached his fellow countryman Marin Cilic throughout the years in his junior ranks. And Tonich was a two-time NAI All-American first-team selection. And Tonich was on the NAI National Championship, won an NAI National Championship in doubles in 1992. And so, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. And we've had this many a time happen on the course of this show, been very blessed with some of the stories that we come across, with the things that happen as we travel through the weeks. And what an opportunity that we had to interview David. That West Florida program is one of the top small college programs in the United States of America. And we're going to try to have him back on again next summer. And you know, you just never know what's going to happen. And so we're excited about that experience, especially for Dave. Now, I want to remind you today that if you have a question for Coach Camper and or myself, and I can't possibly imagine what you'd want to ask me about, but and those lady texters, you can call in at 714-583-6853. Again, that's 714-583-6853, and I believe I've got Chad on the line here, so I'm going to try to bring him in. Just hang on with me. Chad, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Very good to have you on the show today. You know, in my endeavors here, I've been fortunate to encounter a lot of people that I actually know, and today, Chad, this is a little unusual. I have no prior knowledge about Chad Camper, so I am extremely excited about today's interview. I'm gonna question you to death about yourself, about
yeah,
that lady program, and what's happening over there.
Yeah, I'm a man of mystery, but hopefully our paths will cross soon.
I think so. We're only I live now in Tyler, Texas. You're over in Ruston, so you know we're not that far apart from each other.
Yeah, I'll let you take me out to lunch one day when I'm coming through.
Okay, I can do that. Chad, as I tell many of my college coaches that come on the network, you know, I know a little bit about you, but there are going to be a lot of people out here that don't know much about Chad Camper. So if you will, at the start of this show, just give us some biographical information about your coaching history and how you ended up at Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, well, I'm originally from Ohio, in Lima, Ohio. I played Division I tennis at Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio, and played 4 years there and had a great college coach named Herb Foster, which has now passed away, and he kind of built me. I started tennis real late in life, started about 14. I was high school quarterback and got into tennis pretty late, and man, back then, you know, us college coaches sometimes talk about salaries and whatnot, but back then, I mean, it was a very part-time job at the major level, and the man made very little, but he spent as much time as he could with me and really built me up. I went out and played futures for 2 years and didn't get any ATP points, but had a blast and didn't make the millions I dreamed of, so I kind of had to get a real job. I'm kind of a blue-collar guy. I started my own trucking company, which is kind of unusual, you know, in the sport of tennis, but really, you know, loved my trucking company and built it up, and again, was missing tennis. I mean, I was out of tennis for 5 years from age 25 to 30. I picked up a racket maybe once or twice a year. You know, maybe a junior player here or someone, you know, would ask me for some help. But 30 years old, I guess I went through a little quarter-life crisis, and I was like, man, if I don't start getting back into tennis soon, I'm going to be 60 one day, and I hadn't played in 30-some years. So started hitting a little bit, and the Wright State coach at the time got to know me and asked me to be his assistant, and I said no right to his face, and went home and asked my wife, said, hey, you won't believe what happened today, but the Wright State coach asked me to be his assistant. And my wife knew me after I played tennis, so she would just hear the stories, and I was never lost a match in any of my stories, of course, and I said, why not? Yeah, and she said to me, why not? Why not be an assistant? And I said, oh, I own this trucking company. She goes, I think you can do it. So I actually did both and just fell in love with it. And kind of more as my love for tennis, you know, continued to bloom. You know, I was able to sell parts of the company and wanted to become a head coach. And, man, Louisiana Tech opened up. I've always wanted to come down south. And man, it opened up and you got an opportunity here. And but, yeah, this is my fifth season, and it's hard to believe. I still feel like a rookie. Maybe I'll always feel like a rookie, but I'm always learning. And I came to Louisiana Tech in January, and it's just been full blast ever since.
Hey, Chad, now the winters have got to be more to your liking as a tennis coach.
Oh, you do not want to get me started. I got over here in January where they called it a bad winter. And to me, bad winter is 8-9 inches of snow, not rain. And but it was funny. I did wear a trench coat one day on campus, and that did not go over well. I did not think of that through very well. And but yeah, I came down here. I was playing tennis in shorts in late January. I mean, I didn't have a complaint. And but yeah, I like it down here. I mean, right now it's really hot, but drink a lot of fluids. It makes you not eat those cookies and ice cream late at night. And you just gotta keep doing what you gotta do to build the program.
You bet. Now, Chad, let's talk about Louisiana Tech a little bit, and then we're going to jump back into your program. Louisiana Tech, how many students at the school there?
Yeah, about 11,000. Yeah,
okay.
It's a small college town, and about 25, I think, 1,000 people live in the Ruston area. So what's really nice is because it's such a small town, like everybody follows athletics. Like when I came here to Louisiana Tech and I went to the first basketball game, I was like, wow. I mean, there are a lot of people here, and everybody's talking about it, and there's traffic. For a town of 25,000, there should not be traffic, and the restaurants are booked. And I tell you, if I can be honest with you, be a little long-winded here, one of my favorite stories is I had a Louisiana Tech tennis shirt on, and I went to a local barbecue place, and the guy saw my tennis shirt, and he said, hey, you're the new tennis coach at Louisiana Tech. And I said, yeah. And I said, do you play tennis? He says, oh, no. I mean, it was amazing that they knew I was a new hire, at Louisiana Tech. In this town, my players and myself, I don't want to use the word rock stars, but we walk around here, and people know who you are. And that's a really great experience for, obviously for me, but definitely for my players.
Well, in 5 years, I mean, when you came in, before I get into the program. Now, sure. If you come into Louisiana Tech as a student, and I'm gathering that you get Texas kids, Arkansas kids, Louisiana kids, what are these kids coming to Louisiana Tech for? What are the degrees that they seek out there, the big ones?
Yeah, you know, our engineering is real top-notch here. And then, obviously, my players, international business is really big, finance. And I'm learning as we go. I'm sure the education department's quite strong, and I'm kind of learning, you know, as we go here. Because that's one thing is being a college coach. Yeah, I want them to come over and play good tennis, but I want them to get a good degree that they're really going to be able to use, you know, when they leave here.
Yeah, exactly. Dorms on campus, apartments, how's the student athlete living situation?
Yeah, the dorms, you know, what's nice is that Louisiana Tech is growing. It's always like, you know, more buildings. And, you know, some people use the word construction. I like to use the word growth. And it's always growing. And but the dorms are nice. Actually, I have a couple returning girls that are going to be sophomores decide to live in the dorms again, you know, which sometimes can be a rarity at a university. And then there's on-campus apartments, which are really nice. I'm surprised by the space and stuff like that. There's these apartment villages and parks that, I tell you, well, I'm really jealous. We have a beautiful baseball stadium, and a couple of my players can actually watch the game from their place. And I'm like, goodness, like they can just look out, and I'm like, that's pretty neat. And so, yeah, it's really nice, and the area is real safe. And, you know, for me, I'm actually 38-second drive to my office, which is unbelievable, and about a minute drive to the court. So, which is also nice as a coach, you know, you want to make sure if anything, you know, God forbid ever happened to the players on my team, you want to make sure you're close by. So I'm real close to all my players, you know, in case something ever happens.
Sure, sure. Now, Chad, this you mentioned that Ruston is a college-oriented town. I mean, can you explain that to my listeners? Why through the years would it be a college athletic-oriented town? What's the history there? I mean, I kind of know some of the stories, but can you explain it to the people?
Yeah, I think it's amazing just watching the university grow in athletics and conferences. You know, we came from the WAC, so last year was our first year in Conference USA, which, you know, being in the WAC, geographically, that's a challenge. You know, on budgets, a lot of flying out west, you know, trying to get people to come to you, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, the football team, historically, you know, has been always really good. What an outstanding year our men's basketball team had last year. So it's just there's some people. I use the expression a lot, and I got one of my assistants here next to me that grew up here in Ruston, went to school here at Louisiana Tech, and works here at Louisiana Tech. Some of these people, they bleed, you know, blue and red, and they know everything, the history of everything. There's so many people in the athletic department that grew up here, went to school here, and they've seen it from, you know, in the last 10, 15 years, how the town's grown, restaurants, everything from a business aspect. You know, there's a beautiful Squire Creek Country Club, you know, 15, 20 minutes away that I know our golf team competes at. And just watching the town kind of grow and watching the people that just bleed red and blue. I came in January, so I really look forward to football games. And I hear the tailgating's amazing. So anything has to do with food, I'm pretty much all over.
I can understand that. Now,
yeah.
Athletic facilities, your tennis courts, how many courts do you have?
I lost.
Uh-oh, Chad, are you there?
I just completely disconnected.
Oh, you're there, Chad, you there? Uh-oh. I think we lost him for a little bit. He'll call back. Hang on, people. Hold on just a second. You know, this is the joy of internet traffic. This is the joy of these technical difficulties. I know he'll be right back. So, you know, you can tell by the sound of his voice that this guy is very excited about that Lady Texter program and what's happening over there in Ruston, Louisiana. As many of you know, these college tennis coaches are just starting out, particularly Division I, getting involved with their season. Some of them have had tournaments. If you remember, Coach Garner last week, Naval Academy coach, had his first tournament last weekend And so they're doing things, getting involved with their season. So we've got Chad back on the air. We're going to bring him in.
Yes. Hey,
yeah,
sorry,
Chad,
about that.
No, yeah. It happens all the time with
all right.
Lovely.
I'm on a landline, so I was doing all I could. But go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry about
no,
that.
No. I was going to ask, we were talking about facilities. How many courts do you have there at La Tech?
Yeah, we got 8 outdoor courts with lights, about to be resurfaced either sometime in this September or possibly next year, kind of getting everything. Kind of one of those things when you resurface, you want it done right, you know, and so we're all excited. One thing's nice about it, it's right in the middle of campus, and so we're right next to the football field and the tracks, a lot of foot traffic, a lot of people know, we're crossing the soccer field, so sometimes there's a soccer game that, you know, they may see us over there practicing. So a lot of foot traffic. In Ohio, we don't really have a lot of lighted outdoor courts. It's just not something that's really happens. So for me, when I came here and saw outdoor lighted courts, I was very impressed. Even in my career, I've probably only practiced under the lights 10 times in my life. So to me, that's a big deal. One thing I do stress to my women's team is we appreciate things here at Louisiana Tech. And I let the girls know, like, hey, like outdoor lighted courts is a big deal. And they do. Yep. They enjoy, you know, playing under the lights. We're going to have possibly have one match in the spring under the lights. We're going to try to do, you know, more than that. I think that is a fun atmosphere.
I agree with that, Chad. I think that allows the local community to come out after work and get involved. I like that idea.
Yeah.
I kind of got two ways I can go with this. So The program, is it fully funded? You got 8 full scholarships for those ladies?
Yes, sir. So we're fully funded, you know, and 8 full scholarships on the team. Again, at my previous coaching, I was the men and women's assistant. So having full scholarships, I find, you know, recruiting is actually a little bit easier. You don't have to worry about the dollar amount. So, yeah, I mean, Conference USA is very, very tough conference. I mean, with Rice, and I know Florida International is tough this year. I mean, everybody's tough. Everyone's fully funded. Everybody's, you know, has a nice budget. Everybody's tough. And being down south is nice. You know, I think that makes us very competitive. But there's no room for error. And when it comes to recruiting and practices and whatnot.
Yeah, so, Chad, that's going to lead me into it. How many days have you been practicing? How are things going with all that?
Well, we started last Thursday, official practices, and they've been going pretty good. You know, it's pretty hot down here, and my players all came, all of my players but one are international, and a lot of my players, where they came from, like Brazil and Ecuador, it's winter over there. Of course, their winter is like 70, 75 degrees, but to come to, you know, Russ in Louisiana with the humidity, I have a freshman that's from India, and she left 140 Fahrenheit. Can you believe that? In
oh,
India,
my God.
But no humidity. And that humidity is just, you know, is tough. So we've had some good practices. You know, we want to make sure we don't hurt anybody out there in the heat, you know. And but the girls came in. They came in shape, and a lot of them have been competing in the summer. And, you know, learning doubles, I think, at the college level, either men or women's, is always a high priority. I kind of tell all of my incoming freshmen, forget everything you know about doubles. Just forget it all. And let's start over. And I'm sure your coaching experience, you went through something similar to that.
And some of the wisest advice there is.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes it's easy. I'm sure you've taught someone with tennis that played in, you know, at a park with their buddy for a year, and their strokes are horrible, right? It's better to grab someone that's never grabbed a racket and teach them how to play. And to me, it's just like, forget what you think you know. Let's just, you know, let me teach you from the beginning, you know.
Oh, it's so true. So true. Very good. Now, when do you get started with your fall schedule?
Yeah, next weekend we're at the University of Houston invite, and there's a lot of good teams, a lot of competitive teams in that. And then so that'll be next weekend. Yeah, and then we have Rice, you know, which will be back in Houston the weekend after that. I think Rice finished 23 in the nation, so obviously they're competitive, and there are other good teams, and that'll be really interesting to see how, in the little bit of, you know, time we've had, how we've been able to, you know, develop and get a little smart and a little bit wiser out on the court. And I don't think I think we're physically fit. I don't think that will be, you know, as big of a problem. And then we play a couple girls take go to the University of Lafayette Invitational, and then we have regionals in Alabama, you know, and that's really what we're gearing up for, you know, trying to get players, you know, knock off some nationally ranked players to get a national ranking of our own in individuals for singles and doubles and, you know, and compete with those really big schools. That's our goal. And obviously to do well in the conference, but to even play the, you know, the big schools and see what kind of damage we can do.
No, exactly. Being a small college guy, I mean, I understand the importance of fall regionals. Kind of use it as a temperature gauge for where your team is at against these bigger schools heading into the spring. Is that the same philosophy for you?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, for us to keep building, we're still a very young team. I have no seniors on my team. I have 3 juniors, 2 sophomores, and 3 freshmen. So, I mean, I'm still a very young team, still building, still learning. And, you know, as Louisiana Tech has grown, so is, you know, as a university, also as an athletics. And we're constantly growing, and we were in the WAC, and I think their last year they were competitive in the WAC. And then, you know, we finished in the conference last year, the 5 seed at the tournament out of 14. I mean, that's really good first year in Conference USA. Maybe be too good. Yeah. I should have just retired after that, but I think maybe I should. Yeah, they wouldn't let me, though. I tried, and the Social Security and whatnot. But, yeah, so we just want to keep competing against those top schools. I think in the spring season we're trying to play, our schedule's not been released, but there's been some – we got a lot of nationally ranked programs we're competing against, and we really want to knock off one or two of those and get our national ranking ourselves. And we want to join the Rices. We want to join, you know, some of the programs, the Tulsas, that historically have been very good at the mid-major level in tennis.
Yeah. And your 5th year, these girls that you've recruited, I mean, these are all your girls now.
Oh, no. This is my actually 2nd year at Louisiana Tech,
oh.
5th year total in coaching. So
3
of the players are my girls. But I'll be honest, I would recruit every single one of them again if I had the opportunity. I'm blessed here at Louisiana Tech. Not only are they, you know, great players, they do great in the classroom, but they're nice young ladies. And, you know, coming into January last year, a team that's all international, you're just not sure. Are there divisions? Or these people don't like these people? I mean, I came in, I shook their hand. They said, all right, coach, let's go. And we hit the ground running. So I'm very blessed. I have an outstanding group of girls, and we have a ton of fun, just which, you know, as you know, being a coach yourself, like, that's really what it's about.
So the last tournament of the season, after you get done with that, all season – Thanksgiving, Christmas, you come back January. When do you get started in January?
Yeah, you know, we actually haven't released our tournament, so I'm not allowed to speak of which matches, but I know we're doing some traveling. I know we play some schools in the Big 12 and other nationally ranked teams right off the bat. And then, you know, one thing's nice is, you know, we look to have a lot more home matches. Last year we only had 3, and I'm looking to have maybe 11 or 12. You know, which is a humongous difference, which is nice. Sometimes, you know, getting in that van every weekend gets old pretty quick. And I'm glad I used to be a truck driver, so I'm used to driving long distances. But it's nice to have some home matches. And, last year we had a few home matches. I was surprised. We get 50, 60 people at a match. What's funny is, Jason, is that I didn't even try, you know, the free pizzas, the shirts, the – you know, we threw it out on Facebook and whatnot, but, like, you know, because you know how it is in college. You throw out free food, you're going to get a lot of people. And and that's the plan for this year. We got some great, you know, home matches, I think, that will get scheduled soon, and I think that we'll be able to really bring even bigger crowds.
Oh, I like that. Chad, listen, I'm a big word-of-mouth kind of guy with this network and stuff, and that's what it's about. Give them a good experience, put on a good show, and they'll tell somebody about it and be back with a friend or two next time. And, man, that's the way it grows. And growth.
Yeah, and I heard a great coach once say about – it wasn't even a tennis coach. It was a college coach in soccer. One said, you know, we're putting out a product. I really took that to heart, like put out a product out on that court. And, you know, for me, one's if we won Conference USA, but half my girls don't graduate. That's not a very good product. You know,
right,
what happens if we do really well, but they all hate me, they all hate tennis, none of them play tennis after college, they don't want anything to do with Louisiana Tech, did I really do my job? You know, and, like, for me, just putting out that product, and one thing I learned, I think I have 2 daughters, One's five, one's two. I think I learned it once they were born. But like I, when I first started coaching, I was a little tougher, you know, because I was more of a, you know, I was a men's and women's coach, and you do it my way or no way. And I just learned that girls want to have fun, which doesn't seem that wise, but it's true. And I just try to make a great experience. And one thing that really warms my heart is I had a young lady graduate last year. And I was, you know, she had a great season. Her best season was her senior year. She graduated. And you know where she was this summer, Jason? Out on the court playing. That warmed my heart. That warmed my heart to think that I didn't make her hate it. That after the season, she still has a love for that. And she just got a great opportunity to get her master's back in France where she's from. And I told her, you ain't done working for me. I need recruiting now. And, of course, I joke, but I know that she's going to be able to play there. And that those are those little tiny things, I think, that make you feel like you're doing your job.
No, that's exactly right, Chad. We know you and I both, college players, a lot of times throw those rackets away because of the experience, 4 years, what have you, ups, downs, and it takes them so long to pick them back up. And to hear a story like that really says something about the program, the direction that you're headed, and the type of team that you're creating over there.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I just want to make sure that all my women, when it's all over with, gave everything they had, and I feel like I gave everything I had. And, you know, I can win and lose. You know, I think a lot of coaches say, well, you know, I shouldn't lose or I don't like to lose. Sometimes just knowing you did everything you could, and that's just life. You know, like, interesting, I don't want to change the subject, but the whole college changing the score, I know today's been a hot day on that discussion, but, like, life is a deuce, add, go back to deuce, go back to add, go back to deuce. Like, that's what life is. Like, it's not all, you know, ups and, you know, ups and ups and ups. I mean, there are plenty of downs, and, like, I think we see that in a season. I think that's what makes college tennis so special, is it truly prepares you for life. My wife may disagree with this comment. She's probably listening right now. But college tennis and playing on the futures in America was the hardest thing I ever did. Owning my trucking company was easy because I knew how to get up at 6 a.m. and run. I knew what it was like to have to outgrind my opponent. So when I owned a company, it was no big deal. And I really believe that, like, when you – college tennis is such a great product – and it prepares people to be successful. I would love to see a stat where it shows, like, male and women, men and women that have graduated from college, that played college tennis, and their success afterwards. And I don't mean money success. I don't want it to be just money, but, like, great success people have had outside of college tennis. Because I just think tennis is one of these unique sports that can just build you, and you get in the real world, and you are truly equipped.
No, you're on to something there, Coach Camper.
Yeah.
That piece of information would be, I think, the most valuable statistic to any college tennis coach in America. And I'm surprised that it's not available every year updated and needs to be, you know, because that, I've said this all along, this is a lifetime sport. You're constantly getting tennis players, we invest in things for lifetimes, and it takes time to grow things. It takes time for us to mature, and that reflects back on our successes as well. And, man, Chad, that's a great stat that needs to be kept up with for sure. 25 dates in the course of time for Division I tennis. Do you use all those dates this year?
Oh, yeah. You stare at them every day, you know. And one thing about, you know, Division I tennis is if you play two matches in one day, that counts as one day. You can play three matches in one day, and it counts as one day. You know, obviously fall tournaments count as one day of competition. So you try to, and you don't want to overdo, you know, the women or if you coach men, the men. But, yeah, you want to get as much action in there as you can. And sometimes I'll use the expression in the spring around February or March, you only have so much fuel in the fuel tank. And sometimes you need to know when to let your girls have a couple days off. Or, hey, you know what? I'm going to sit you today in today's match. Oh, but, Coach, I'm the number three player. I'm going to sit you today because I've noticed you're getting a little tired, missing some easy volleys. And for me, that's one thing I think it's great about playing, you know, I don't want to use the word bench because here at Louisiana Tech Tennis, I don't really have a bench. But if you have players that play historically 7, 8, or 9 to get them in there, and it let your three players sit. I'll tell you one thing, not only let your 1, 2, or 3, or 4, whoever in your lineup, let them sit for a match, it makes them hungry, Jason. It makes them hungry. You take it for granted. Well, I'm playing three again today. All right, I guess I'll play well. What, I'm not playing today? All of a sudden, you see a little sharper than them in practice. If you actually look at our schedule last year, I sat people in my lineup a lot. It built my girls in the lower lineup, but also, you know, hey, you may not play every match. You know, so I feel that the 25 days is a really good number to kind of work with, because you want to play your best tennis at the end of the year. And what good is it if you burn them all out, you know, until the end of the year?
Chad, I couldn't agree more. I mean, the things that I learned in my days were along those same lines were, you know, in those situations, you allow a player that maybe in practice is not as sharp or as clean in a practice match or a, you know, a grudge match situation, but gets a chance to get out there with the team and with the coach and then succeed at that three spot. But they may not beat that three player in practice, but you may see something as a coach that says, wow, I never even knew or expected that to happen.
Yeah, no, that's a great comment. Also, you never know when an injury may arise. You know, you get a girl gets hurt, maybe a couple girls get hurt, and next thing you know, you're playing your 7 and 8 girls in conference matches. They haven't played a match since November. You think they're going to go out and win? Same thing in football. You don't play your backup quarterback all year. All of a sudden, you get to the championship game, your starter goes out, and you expect your backup quarterback to go in and do well. Like, that's just unrealistic expectations. So for me, and that, you know, you're 7 and 8 that may not play a lot in matches. If you don't ever play them, what motivation do they truly have to compete hard? You know, you're just not allowing them to compete and think, hey, I might play this weekend. I know I've been playing 7 or 8, but coach may put me in doubles. You know, coach may put me in singles. I need to be ready. And more, it's not 6 girls and then 2 other girls, but it's 8 girls all as a team, or obviously men's team or women, if you have more than 8, but everybody's a team. And if you can allow everyone to play as much as you can, then I think you just get more of that team, you know, all-togetherness.
Yeah, Chad, now help me understand the benefits of being in Conference USA as a tennis coach. Do you get a home and away, or home and a home? How does that work? Is there a conference tournament at the end of the season? How do you become the conference champion? What happens there?
Yeah, that's a great question, because here at Conference USA, we actually do not have to play a conference schedule. It's very unusual, you know, compared to, you know, other conferences. So we can play other conference schools, but we don't have to. So what's interesting about that is, like last year, we got to the conference tournament. I don't even know half the coaches, let alone their team. So I think it's a very unique, you know, experience. I'm not against it, nor am I, you know, super for it. It's just kind of the way it is, and I'm kind of okay with it, because I think traveling would be, you know, a little difficult here and there. But so we have a tournament, and the way they pick out the seeds are national rankings. So, you know, as you know, Division I college tennis, you rank your top 75 officially, and you have your unofficial ranking 76 to, you know, forever long. So so that's what makes the seeding interesting. The last year, we were the 5th seed. The top 4 seeds were ranked top 75. We were unofficially ranked. They never would even tell me what it was. I knew it was close to the 75 mark. So we were the 5 seed, and it kind of went all the way down to 14. Now, if you beat a team that's ranked, you know, really high, you'll be seeded ahead of them no matter what. So even if you're if you're in the top of Conference USA and you play a team that's at the bottom, but they beat you, boy, they got a lot to gain there. So you'll see not everyone plays a lot of Conference USA schools. Now, during the tournament, it's a team tournament like anything else. The winner gets an automatic bid in the NCAAs, and then, you know, everybody else is trying to still get in with national rankings and whatnot.
Chad, are you a believer in interdivisional play? Do you play small schools, or do you just play Division I schools? How does that work for you?
You know, we do play. I believe in tough competition. You know, I hope that answers your question. If it's Division I, is it Division II, III? To me, as long as it's tough competition. For instance, we're trying to play a couple junior colleges. You know, they're very good, very good schools with great players. And even though on paper they're like, well, they're junior college, hey, they're tough. You can't take them for granted. And, like, so for me, you know, what's going to make my, you know, players stronger? I have a saying I've been saying for years. My friend Sean McCaffrey, that used to coach with me at Wright State University, now he's at Atlantic Armstrong. We used to have a saying, iron sharpens iron. And if I can get my iron against your iron and battle it out, we're going to get better. But rubber doesn't sharpen iron. And when you go out and that iron is not getting sharp from that. So for me, I want tough competition. I want my girls to know what it's like to grind. I want my women to know what it's like to give everything they have. Because giving up's a habit and winning's a habit. And you start giving up a lot, or just not going after shots, you'll be that individual. But if you know what it's like to compete and give everything you got every day, you'll do that every day, and that'll carry over into the real world.
Great, Chad. I'm a big proponent because I was a small college coach in that interdivisional play. My girls were more likely to go to schools that helped us, that participated with us. They were familiar with the school, with the girls, with the coach, and it was more comfortable for them. And there was a relationship that developed between the two coaches. And tennis is one of those sports that you can have interdivisional play, so it needs to be promoted a little more often.
Yeah, I agree. You made an interesting comment, I think, and I don't know what it's like in other sports, in college, but I think it's interesting how coaches are almost colleagues. We work together for matches. Obviously, again, I'm not touching the subject on the new scoring changes or not maybe changes, but how everyone's uniting, and we're colleagues. Like, yeah, when, I come and play you, I want my team to beat your team. But, you need to work together. And at the end of the day, college tennis is an unbelievable, product and an unbelievable experience. And I always tell even recruits, if you don't come to me, I hope you go somewhere and have an amazing experience. Because nothing breaks my heart more when a player is not having an amazing experience anywhere. And so you brought up interesting, maybe a junior college, they compete against Louisiana Tech, that, I can see what that player's made of. They can see what my team's like, what I'm like on the court. So, yeah, it all kind of works together.
Yeah, it's very good. We come out of the U.S. Open here. We've got some issues regarding American men's tennis. We can't seem to get an American player past the third round right now. Isner is he's aging. Where his big serve isn't as big as it was. His forehand isn't as big as it was. On the women's side, thank goodness we've got Serena, but she's also aging. It's been an international game now since Roddick in that 1991. Has it been that
I
long?
Know.
Jeez Louise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Long time. I better check my stats on that. But anyway, long time.
We're showing our age.
2001. U.S. Open. Chad, in your opinion, as you've gone through this, being in the middle of America now in kind of southern states here, what have you observed? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? What can we do differently here?
Well, I want to say, nobody roots for American tennis, more than me. When I'm watching, U.S. Opens or any other ATP event, I always root for my Americans. Always, no matter if I know them personally and I don't like them, I always root for my Americans. One thing that I think people don't realize is a John Isner, that's extremely rare player. I mean, he's that tall, that big a serve. You can't produce that. When you're that tall, And Serena and the Williams sisters both. I mean, even Venus is ill and she's still able to compete at such a high level. And so I think it's hard to say we need players like that because I think they're just so rare. I don't know if I'm really the right person to ask on where the U.S. junior system needs to go in tennis. I didn't really grow up in big USTA because I started so late. The players I've worked with, junior players that have went off and gotten college scholarships at Division I level, we didn't really do it the USTA way. I'm not one to sit here and say USTA needs to do that, USTA needs to do this. I think that one of the few things I'd like to see change is, and I'm probably going to get some hate mail on this, so please don't give my email out, but I think the American tennis pro has really dropped the ball. I'm always blown away when I go to tournaments and tennis pros aren't there to watch their kids. Now, I understand if you go on a Saturday and watch your player compete, you're missing out on money. I understand that. Like, I used to be a businessman. I get it. But what I'm saying is, how are you supposed to know how to work on your player if you don't see him or her compete? You know, you get back from a tournament, and mom tells the teaching pro, Johnny double faulted 80 times. Was the opponent standing 4 feet inside the baseline? Was the opponent hitting winners? Well, like, you don't know these things, and you want mom and dad to answer them. I just think that if maybe I know a gentleman in Cincinnati is doing an amazing job. He only has five or six players.
Yeah.
And, like, he goes to the tournaments when he can. Now, I understand if they're real far. I understand there's different, you know, circumstances. But when a tournament is – I've seen tennis pros teach tennis at an indoor facility where the tournament's being played. When his lesson's over, he leaves while his players are playing in tournaments.
Oh,
they're
wow.
in your backyard, man. You know, and, hey, again, I have a wife, kids, I understand. But, I mean, for me, I'd rather make a little less money and do a great job. That's me. That doesn't mean that needs to be somebody else. That doesn't mean I'm amazing. I'm just saying, like, I think that that's one of the big, you know, problems. Also, we're our own little world. Like, I don't know how – I've been all over the country. I used to live in California, Houston, blah, blah, blah. But, like, American tennis players, they just don't get it. They're like, yeah, I'm probably going to get a, you know, full-ride scholarship Division One. And they don't know. They're 16. I'm like, you're so far from that. And they don't know. Well, I'm a 3-star. I'm a 4-star. And, like, that may not mean anything. I know I'm getting a little ferocious on your show today. So
no, Chad.
I'm only saying
about.
It with love. I'm saying it with love. If I can just tell one more story. I had a gentleman, or it was a mom and dad. They were looking at a university because they were thinking about walking on the football team. Well, they happened to have a daughter that was 15. And they just wanted to see the tennis courts, and I ran into them, and I just told them point blank, like, are you playing these tournaments? No. Who's your teaching pro? They told me his name. How often times do you hit with this guy? 3 times a week, and he's never told you how to get rankings? He's never made a video for you? Like, how much do you pay him? It was standard, you know, the standard rate we all kind of know. It was like, you're not getting fulfilled. Like, and I could probably spend the next 20 minutes telling you story after story. If somebody cared, that wouldn't happen. And I know I'm on a rant here, forgive me. But, like, one, I love the story I heard in church one day of Christian college. And, you know, a lot of volunteers and a lot of people, you know, don't make a lot of money. And that head pastor would walk around where things needed to be done. And all he would say, Jason, is if someone cared, that wouldn't look like that.
Mm.
Go to the next room. Maybe a light bulb's out. Maybe the floor's dirty. Somebody cared, it wouldn't look like that. And I tell you that, Jason Haynes, today, that's my quote for American tennis. If somebody cared, it wouldn't look like that. And you know what? I don't know UST. I don't know who makes what money. I know I see efforts here and there. I'm probably not the greatest person to talk about. But only success, Jason, I have ever had in my life is because I care. I don't know all the answers. I don't pretend to have all the answers. I wasn't a great player. I serve left-handed and play right. That shows you how screwed up I am. Okay? Like, all I'm saying is, like if somebody cared, and I think we could blame USTA, to me it's the tennis pro. And one of the greatest I've ever seen is in Shreveport. And that guy prays for his kids, and he cries when his kids lose. He gives everything he has to those kids, and he develops good players. And I got on a rant there, forgive me, but that's,
no,
that's
Chad,
kind of the question
you know,
I've been needing
for you. I'm sitting here going, I'm saying to myself that, you know, there recently was an opening with player development. I know you love college tennis, but if they could get verbal interview with Chad Camper, there might be somebody that shakes their head and says, where's this guy been? Because
imagine a whole country of people serving one-handed and playing the other. I don't think we want that.
I don't mean it necessarily like that, but your attitude about tennis, you know, just the caring part of it. As you mentioned earlier, the product part of this, you know, putting out a product that people are interested in, and, you know, there's a lot of good things that are happening in Ruston for Louisiana Tech, and it's refreshing to hear a voice of this nature. And, you know, I also am going, well, this guy's late blooming into college tennis here as well, and his enthusiasm should breed more enthusiasm.
Yeah, well, also thing is, you know, I think interviews would be really great. You know, I mean, we've all seen Djokovic just be hilarious. Fake, you know, his service motions when he's mimicking Sharapova. Like, let's get this guy interviewed. Let's let people see this guy be silly. like, and there's a lot of things, I think, forgive me if I don't remember the name of the show, but years ago there was something, there was like a bus, and it was like Andy Roddick and the Bryan Brothers and other Americans. They traveled around the country. It was on like every Saturday morning. They did tennis stuff. I learned the Bryan Brothers had a band and can play music. I thought that was pretty neat. And like, yeah, that's just a small little example of letting to know their personalities and fun things. You know, I think sometimes we feel like, well, Nadal does nothing but plays tennis. He has no social life. He doesn't watch TV. All he does is eat, sleep, and play tennis. And like, you know what? Yeah. He likes to play poker. He likes to do some things. Some people like video games. Like, and you can relate a little more. We know everything we want to know about LeBron James, right? We know everything about the Manning brothers. But I feel like if we could do more, even not just American players, but international, especially since Nishikori and Marin Cilic, U.S. Open Finals, people said, who are these people? Right, let's interview these people. Nishikori's been in America for a while. Go ahead, I'm interrupting your show. I'm sorry.
No, Chad, that's exactly what, you know, we're about. We're trying to tell those stories. And, you know, it's amazing to me. And in my experience and in my travels as a college tennis coach, you know, and high school tennis coaches included in this, professional coaches, just tennis people, how many people are out there that have given so much to the sport, but yet you would never, ever know who they are?
That's
what we're, you know, what we're trying to do here. So,
yeah.
You know, we do cover college tennis here, and we're going to come back around and let you finish off with the Lady Texters. But, Chad, I've got to ask you, I mean, you're in one of the big conferences in the United States for tennis. These scoring changes, we've covered this all summer on the network. This was crazy stuff.
Yeah, it was real wild. Of course, this all breaks out today. You have me, you know, breaks out as in voting against it, possibly. Of course, breaks out. So I had to do my research. I haven't had lunch yet because I was like wanted to make sure I was on the ball as much as I could. First of all, you're taking grinding out of tennis. You're taking, you know, with no ad scoring. You're taking the game away. You're really destroying the foundation of tennis. Baseball going to two strikes and you're out? You know, is basketball getting rid of the three-point line? You know what I mean? Is football the clock? I mean, I could go on and on. And, you know, one thing, again, I'm not pretending like I was a savvy businessman, but I owned a very, very small trucking company, 5 trucks. I mean, very small. And I wouldn't go out, Jason, and buy a truck unless I had a contract, right? If a company said to me, hey, we're going to have you haul this stuff 3, 4, 5 days a week, I would say to myself, I'll make so much a year, I'll go out and buy a truck, right? But yet we, here in college tennis, want to change the scoring because we might get TV someday. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
If you said to me, hey, no ads. Go ahead, sir, go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish your statement. I'll follow up.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I think that, you know, if someone would have said, look, you know, we're going to get this on TV, we're going to get this match, this tournament, you know, we think we'll make X amount of money, college coaches might have, a salary increase. You think might be people more on board, but to change something, which is a bad change anyway, to let alone think one day you might make money, it's just bad business.
Yeah, well, this was a super fine conference move. I mean, I've been researching this for a while. The vote actually came out, you know, about 5 days after the Super 5 got autonomy, where they can change the rules the way they see fit. It's a disaster in regards to tennis, and I love your analogies about the other college sports. I've said this all along. Football is not shortening the field to 80 yards. Basketball is not lowering the goal. Why are we all of a sudden with the greatest sport ever invented, with the gladiator atmosphere that we have? I mean, in Rome, centuries ago, you can take a look at the Roman Colosseum and see how people were enthralled when two gladiators went to battle. And you can go get the U.S. Open, and you can see how people are enthralled when gladiators go to battle. And yet, we're at the bottom of the feeding pole when it comes to TV. And traditionalists like you and I perhaps say, well, what do you do?
Yeah.
You know,
another thing, Jason, I know we don't have much time, but I don't want to be like the NBA. I'm not mad at the NBA. I just don't want to be like the NBA. I don't want to be like the NFL. I'm not mad at the NFL. I just don't want to be like them. Tennis is its own game. You know what?
Yeah.
And if 10 people show up to a match or 100, I'd rather tennis be tennis. I don't want to change
exactly.
to something. Yeah, yeah. I tell you, the only one positive I'll give you about the no ad, and you can smack me when you meet me, okay, is I think it would create more upsets. I think college tennis is very difficult to have an upset where one team beats another team, like, because it takes three or four players on the good team to have bad days and three or four players. But I will trade all. But I'd rather keep the original format. I'm just saying. I think that's just the one little tiny benefit, you know, of doing it that way. But I can name you 100, you know, negatives to that.
No, I couldn't agree more, Chad. I mean, you just percentage wise. I mean, you're going to figure out that as it moves along, an underdog type player takes a chance certain times during a match. They're going to come through and you're right. And then the ironic part of it is you take a USC, and I'll just throw this out there, losing to Louisiana Tech 4-3 because of the no-ad scoring,
right.
And they're going to be up in arms and say, what have we done?
Yeah, that's right.
And not give and not give any credit to the girls at Louisiana Tech for coming out and battling as hard as they could on that day and beating them.
Yeah, you're right. You know? And I could sit here. And juniors don't want it, the no-ad. Parents don't want the no-ad. You've taken the fitness completely out of tennis, and now you don't even need to work hard anymore. You know, you're going to get cheating. Oh, my goodness. 3-all point, second serve, that ball's out. Unless that line judge is standing there. And, you know, at a mid-major level in other schools, we can't afford six officials to be there
that's
on every
right.
point. Yeah, and cheating's bad enough in juniors, you know, and in college. And I tell you the one good thing, if I can say it, is there's been such unity fighting this. I mean, there's so many coaches emailing. I mean, today I've gotten 80 emails and text messages and phone calls of hey, did you hear this? Hey, what about that? Like, we needed this. Maybe this is the thing we needed to unite. And especially when they start trying to scare us, well, if we don't do something, Jason, we're going to get rid of college tennis. Hey, don't do that. Yeah. That's a threat. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, and see that's what I've been afraid of here is and we're going to cover this as we move through the year, Chad. But you know, it's interesting times all around for a lot of sports with this football playoff system, with what's coming on, these lawsuits against the NCAA. But you and I could tell you what I may have to take you out to lunch, but we may spend a few hours at the lunch. Table talking on some of these things because it sounds like there's a lot of movement towards the same direction here, and you're very opinionated. I love that, and you love you're passionate about your tennis, about your team, and maybe the same blood, my friend.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, if you love the sport, I think we're all on board. And a lot of the ideas I've said today aren't just mine. I speak for lots of college coaches and people that just love the game of tennis.
Yeah. And so tell me about you got practice later today. What's going on today?
Yeah. So I actually here at Louisiana Tech, I do a lot of individuals. I do have an assistant coach. It's a grad assistant. So she's younger. I try to put her to work when I can. But I still like to play with the women on my team. I still hit with them a lot. And I cheat more because, you know, I can't let them beat me. But, no, and so I have an individual at 3 and practice at 4. What are they going to do? I'm going to make them run if they question my call, right? And we have practice at 4, and, you know, I know it's maybe going to rain this couple days. So good quality practice. And, you know, the things, we have 3 new freshmen come in, you know. They're trying to, you know, be accepted and whatnot. So we had a great doubles practice yesterday and got a little silly at times. And but you can kind of tell. One of our freshmen really kind of bought into what's going on. It's really fun to see that. And I hope I'm in my 5th season college coaching. I hope when I'm in my 25th season in college coaching, I still have the joy of seeing the freshmen come around and that this Louisiana Tech's their home and you know, this is where they wanted to play. This is their dream.
Yeah, Chad, I was going to ask about your practice. How long are your practices?
Yeah, 2 hours. So we practice, you know, 2 hours a day, and then each player gets an hour individual a week, and then we do strength and conditioning twice a week in the morning for about an hour.
Yeah. And you mentioned those individuals. Do you see every girl each week, or do you divide it with your graduate assistant? You know, how do you,
no,
how do,
if
you
I
do
see
that?
Them every week. I guess I'm controlling. I don't know. But I do see them every week. We film sometimes. They're served. You know, it's one thing, Jason, I'll have to tell you, the players get tired of hearing from us, don't they? But, man, you put that thing on video, they can't argue with you anymore. And everybody thinks they look like their knees are bent and, oh, look at me hitting out on my serve. Nope. Look at that volley. You know, you look like you're 80 bending over to hit a volley. You know, get low on that. So it's fun to see the video and see them play. And so that's really the things we focus on.
Yeah, Chad. And we're going to lose some of our live listeners now, and that's usually the way it works. I'm going to keep you just a little bit longer. I've got a couple more questions, and I'm going to let you go for the day. One of the things that I'm curious about, and we've had her on the show here, Lauren Longbothen-Meisner. She's a coach at University of Auburn, a graduate there, Lady Texter. Is there a match in the works here? Are you guys going to play each other? Does that work out there? How's the relationship?
We haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, but I look forward to maybe meeting her this fall.
Well, it's definitely something, you know, I hope in the future, and I know that as we go through this as college coaches, that, you know, you're going to encounter some players that went to schools that are successful and moving on and so on and so forth. And I hope that they'll give back, you know, because Louisiana Tech, Alabama, not too far apart from each other, and need to remember your roots. You know what I mean? Remember where you came from. Because,
Well, I know she's done an outstanding job there, you know, so I look forward to meeting, and I'm sure the campus has changed a ton since she was here. So, and that's one thing nice. I feel like I know a lot of people, but yet there's a lot of people to get to know.
Now, former high school quarterback, tennis has got to be a lot harder, right?
You know, I got hurt more in tennis than I ever did in football. Maybe I just had an awesome offensive line, you know, that used to protect me. But I still enjoy, you know, watching football. I look forward to watching, you know, Tech football games, you know, home games and whatnot. So, but, you know, one thing which makes tennis special is it's about you. Ain't nobody to blame. You know, quarterback, you could go 3 for 12 and have a great running back. Nobody really talks about your stats. You know, you could throw a terrible throw and the receiver finds a way to catch it and runs for a touchdown. Not in tennis. It's up to you.
The trucking company, anything you bring in your lessons from the trucking company to the tennis courts?
I think that's what's really helped me be, you know, successful is I don't care what, you know, trucking. Obviously, I had to get out in Ohio and 10-degree weather and fix a truck or get it to start. And people are like, oh, my goodness, that would be terrible. But, you know, I guess for me, like, for me owning the company, everything comes down to me. You know, I pay the people's payroll. I keep people employed. Hey, I had 11 people that fed their family on the income that our company made. Like, that's a big deal to me. So for me to come over to college, like, those players, I need to take care of. I need to keep them motivated. And I feel like maybe that's what's helped me is I'm just used to doing a lot of things, you know, myself. Used to maybe too much controlling. But I feel like, you know, with that attitude of just getting things done yourself, I think so many people, you know, try to maybe not always pass the blame, but you always try to pass the work along to someone else. And I'd rather get it done. And if I don't know how to get it done, I'll go to someone that does know how to, you know, to help me out to get whatever I need, you know, completed.
Now, you've got 2 daughters, 5 and 2. The current NCAA rules are changing in regards to recruiting. I'm curious, has the athletic director there at Louisiana Tech offered an early signing period here for these daughters of yours, tennis, basketball, anything out there?
You'd be surprised how often I actually get that question on babies just born. I'm getting tagged in Facebook posts asking if I can already give the player a scholarship. You know, one thing, you know, I grew up playing football, basketball, baseball, and I just fell into tennis. So for me, I just want my daughters to know how to play. But for me, as long as they're playing some kind of sport, again, there's some amazing stats out there of high school girls that compete in high school athletics. They do better academically, they stay out of trouble, drugs, and et cetera, and like the confidence it builds them. Those are the things that, you know, if my daughters play any sport, I want them to play in some kind of sport. I just think that alone, the teamwork, and I think that alone is just such a life lesson.
Now, you mentioned Mrs. Chad Camper earlier in the broadcast. Has she developed into a tennis fan through these years?
You know, she's more of a fan than me. It's hard to believe. I'm always coming home like, hey, who won the U.S. Open? Like, who won a match today? She always knows. And she comes out to the matches here at Louisiana Tech and cheers them on. And I think it was funny, actually, in my previous school, she'd get mad at my men. I'd come home, and she'd be like, I can't believe that guy didn't do this or that, you know. So she's actually really into it. She can't play much herself, but I think she does know, you know. You can say, hey, she's up a break, and she knows exactly what you're talking about, but she's real, you know, supportive of the program. And again, you know, this probably has nothing to do with college tennis or your show, but being, you know, picking the right spouse is so important. Again, I wouldn't be here today if my wife didn't tell me to go after that. Remember earlier in our conversation, I got asked to be the assistant by Sean McCaffrey, and I said no right to his face. And Jason, if my wife wouldn't have asked me why not, I wouldn't be here. She said, yeah. Why not? And I said, I don't know. She said, I think you can. What powerful words. And here I am today. Yeah. So I owe, and imagine, and this is how I always am, this talkative. Can you imagine living with me all the time? Poor lady, I feel bad for her.
Oh, it's very good, Chad. Chad, you've been a delight to visit with, young man, and you're going to bring many good things to that program there at Louisiana Tech. And I want to wish you the best this fall and in the spring as well.
Thank you. Well, first of all, the young man comment I appreciate. But second, I think everything you do, I love your program, push for college, you know, athletics and or tennis and professional tennis. Love your show. Love what you're doing. You please keep it up. You're an asset to the community.
Yeah, well, we'll keep going and look forward to lunch someday, Chad. You get over to Tyler, I get over to Rustin. I'm going to be we're going to have to exchange hole-in-the-wall places, okay?
That sounds good. Maybe hit a few balls, too. That'd be great.
Okay, all right.
Again, I cheat, though, so be ready.
Very good, Chad. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Coach Chad Camper of the Lady Texters over there at Louisiana Tech. As I mentioned at the start of the show, Chad and I don't really know each other, per se. We visited several times, email, Facebook, that sort of thing, and this guy's excited about Lady Texter tennis. He's excited about tennis in general, and he brings that passion to those courts, and you can tell in the interview and what happened that this guy, he just brings it, and you can keep your eyes on those Lady Texters on La Tech. That Conference USA is in trouble. They're going to unseat some of those higher seeds. You heard they were 5 last year. He'll keep growing, keep getting better. He'll bring in better kids, better tennis players, and get the support from that community. I know, as he said, that Ruston is a college town, and that place is going to continue to support that tennis team and want to wish him the very best. Now, I'm going to leave you with something today, and this is something I tried last week, and I'm going to continue to do this. Something that I hope that you were available to know about that happened at the U.S. Open recently was is they started what they call the American Collegiate Invitational. And this is where they brought in 8 women and 8 men on both the from the top Division I programs in the United States of America, and they let them go to battle out there while the U.S. Open was happening. And over the weekend, you had the top seeds. The seeding committee did a wonderful job. The top seeds, UCLA's Marcos Giron and the University of North Carolina's Jamie Loeb, they won the tournament. And what happens now is they get to return to New York for the 2015 U.S. Open and get entered as wild cards is the way I understand this. This is so exciting for college tennis. Anything that helps get college tennis players and gives them a stepping stone. It's not a handout. Can you climb into this draw? And I love this idea. However, and many of you know I'm a small college proponent out here. What is the harm in expanding that tournament to include 16 players? Can anybody tell me, with a $300 million profit coming out of that U.S. Open, with the NCAA making God knows how much money with this football playoff system, the ITA with their resources, a new sponsor this year, how much would it have cost these people to bring in the top collegiate players, the American players if you needed to, after this tournament and expanded that draw to 16? I mean, I would hope at some point that someone within these organizations would say, we are about making dreams, not about squashing them. And I sure hope that somebody out there would say, you know what, we're going to spend a couple of $100s and provide some meals, some hotel rooms, and we're going to make a kid's dream by letting them come out here to the U.S. Open and play a match, a couple of matches. Shoot, you can have a consolation draw. You can have a compass draw and play it out and give them three matches. Oh, my goodness. You might waste a total of 9 balls on the top American junior college player, but that player for the rest of their lives will think so highly of those organizations that gave to them because they give to tennis. I mean, who runs these events? Where is the customer service? Where is the customer satisfaction? When did we stop building things? When did we stop granting wishes? When did we stop giving dreams to people and saying, you can do? Well, why are we all can't-doers? What happened? Who started this? And we've got to stop this. We are can-doers. We're all can-doers. You can bring in the top American talent into that collegiate invitational if you want to. You can bring in interdivisional play into that event if you want to. Heaven forbid a junior college player actually win that event one day, and we find the next great American talent just because he was given a chance to play in an event that he would never, ever get to play, but he was the American underdog that everybody needed. I mean, years ago we had Connors at 39 years of age rouse the American public because he did something that was unbelievable. What a story. The junior college champion travels out to the U.S. Open, and he qualifies for the main draw. Isn't that part of the American dream? Why is it that these top eight Division I players are the only ones, the entitled ones? Why is Division I the only one? Why isn't it everybody? Aren't we looking for the best talent everywhere? Aren't we looking around the corner, under rocks, in trees? Where are they at? I mean, they're out there. Football's finding them. Basketball's finding them. Why aren't we finding them? Where are they? So I'm challenging the NCAA, the ITA, the USTA, become more interdivisional. Realize that it's a good thing to play these matches, to compass it out, and to bring in these players. Bring in all divisions. Set an example. Let them know that, you know what, these guys down here at the JC level, they play with 3 balls, their net's 3 feet tall, their court's 78 feet long, and it's 27 feet wide, and they win and they lose just like us. And if they can beat us, by George, they're better than we are. And we need to go back and play, practice harder. We quit squashing dreams. We start raising people up and telling them how good they are. That's what America's about. So get out there and go hit some tennis balls today. Enjoy what's happening. Summer's about done. Fall's coming. And we all know as tennis players, winter stinks. You're not going to be able to get outside. So go enjoy your day. And thanks for listening. Tell your friends. We are the UR Tennis Network, and we're out here. Spread it around.